This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
When we're trying to recover on our own, when we're trying to make our relationships better on our own, many of us crash and burn. And for those that stay together, and overwhelmingly, when an affair has taken place in a marriage, most couples stay together. So it's not the affair that in essence breaks the marriage, is how either or both partners refuse to show up after the affair has been discovered. And oftentimes this can be a long, drawn out, painful process when we refuse to get the help that we need.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me. So good to talk with you. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. I hope you, if you enjoy what you hear here, you'll tell others about the broadcast and get them plugged in as well. I want to hear from you today. I'm going to open the phones in the segments coming up and want to hear your experiences. You can, of course, share your own stories as well. I want to talk a little bit, if we could, just about infidelity. I know it sounds like a kind of a bummer, doesn't it? It really does. You're like, what are you talking about that for? I think it's really important that we safeguard our marriages. It's, of course, a day of Valentine's Day. It's a day that we celebrate true love, true and long-lasting love. Well, you know, not love that's all warm and fuzzy one minute and it's gone the next, right? You know, we're in this ultimately for the long run, and that's what marriage is supposed to be. You know, you took a vow. I took a vow to be with my spouse for better, for worse, in good times and for bad, you know, till death do you part. And, you know, your vows might have been a little bit different than that, but pretty much you made a commitment to that soul that no matter what life brings, you're going to be with them. And you become one. And that's what Scripture tells us, right? And you know, maybe you're discerning marriage right now. Maybe you're looking. Maybe you are in a relationship and your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever it might be, is unfaithful to you. I want to talk infidelity. You know, I want to talk about why married partners cheat, especially, you know, temptation's bound. And I know because of our fallen nature, you can be weak. Unfortunately, I think way too often, even though, you know, we spoke those words in front of everybody in the church, you know, you might give into the temptation. You might start a relationship with somebody else who is not your spouse, and then it heads into the area of adultery. We know it happens. You know, there's a lot of divorce statistics that are out there. You know, there's a lot of them. I'll share just a couple of them with you. Just put this on your radar. Surveys show that 22% of married men, I find this number stunning. It's so outside of my frame of reference. But 22%, more than one out of five men, have committed an adulterous act at least once in their life. And 14% of married women have had affairs. In the younger generation where these values are considerably higher and the numbers, you know, both sexes are closer together, but the percentage of men and women who admit to having an affair with a coworker, over one out of three. Can you believe that? And I guess that happens. You know, you work with somebody. That's what I love about Relevant. I don't know if you ever come by here. You'll see windows in every one of our doors. There's a policy here at the network where, you know, we don't go to lunch with somebody of the opposite sex. You don't drive in the same car. And it's not because somebody's going to be unfaithful, but you just want to avoid that temptation. You know, you want to avoid the chance of that happening. When you look at these stats, you got to understand that the percentage of men and women who admit to having an affair with a coworker is 36%. Between, you know, 1 and 3 and 2 and 5, it's pretty amazing. The percentage of men and women who have admitted to infidelity on business trips, guess what that number is? It's the same. It's 36%. The percentage of men and women who admit to infidelity on business trips and who have an affair at work, that's pretty high. It's one out of three. I'm stunned by that. I really am. And I don't know whether you've been come on to or you felt the temptation. What is it about that? I mean, don't you love the partner you're with? Aren't you committed to your spouse? Why do you take that as an opportunity to break the vows that you've made with your spouse? The percentage of men and women who admit to infidelity emotionally or physically. Now, this is nuts. With a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law, take a guess in your mind. What is it? The percentage of men and women who admit to infidelity Now, again, it's not just physical. It's emotional. I guess we can define what that is. But with a brother-in-law or sister-in-law, it's 17%. It's almost one out of five. You know, that's a lot. Don't you find that high? But to me, that's stunning. 30% of married women knew of their spouse's infidelity, while for married men, the number is 46%. 90% of Americans, I know I'm giving you a lot of data here, I just find it stunning when you have these surveys and you take these tests and you find out what's going on in marriage in this country. Talked about marriage not failing us, but rather you and I failing marriage. 90% of Americans believe it is morally wrong to commit an adulterous act. Bravo! Let me give you a round of applause for that one. You get 61% say, they'd like to see it punished as a crime. I don't know. In the United States, 17% of all divorces are due to adultery on the part of either or both parties. So here's the question. Why does it happen? Why does it happen? There was a group of sociological researchers. They looked into this and reported in the Archives of Sexual Behavior that they did four types of experiments. And what they found was that as people questioned just how strong their marriage was for whatever reason, when they were presented with pictures of attractive people, suddenly there was this very strong interest in getting to know those people. Isn't that weird? And then, when there was no question of how strong their marriage was. But, of course, if you had a strong marriage, it wasn't as high. Let me put it that way. But if your marriage was not that great and you're shown attractive people, wow, suddenly there's an interest. Of course, it's logical. If you're satisfied with your spouse and your marriage, it wouldn't matter if the world's sexiest man or some supermodel showed up on your doorstep, and wanted to get in, on, your relationship, you're going to be faithful to your spouse. If you have a strong marriage, at least I hope you are. But if there's some weakness in it, if you question whether or not your spouse really loves you, if you question if it's all worth the hassle, if the two of you have argued, if there's some other issue that you're dealing with, then suddenly, maybe there's a greater proclivity to going ahead and considering or entertaining the idea. I find it interesting, too, because they often say that Facebook has been really a detriment to a lot of relationships. Because I think a lot of people live in this fantasy world where they remember how fun it was, how exciting it was, in high school or college and the relationship that they have. And they romanticize the past. And what ended up happening, they get on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and they start checking out that person. They start conversations. And the next thing you know, they're trying to rekindle that old flame. A lot of marriages have been compromised by it. Maybe you have. Of course, you can join us here today, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you have done this, how do you help your marriage heal? How do you safeguard your marriage against infidelity? I think you're going to need God's help. You're going to need the help of someone who can guide the two of you into putting a relationship back together again. And I'm joined right now by a clinical psychologist, a certified relationship therapist. His name is Dr. Michael DiPaolo. He's in private practice in Los Angeles, has counseled thousands of couples in marriage prep through the Los Angeles Diocese there. He's a speaker, of course, workshop presenter and retreat leader. And you can learn more about him at drmichaeld.com. And check him out right there. So drmichaeld.com, DR for doctor. Hey, doctor, thank you for joining me. Good afternoon.
Drew, thanks so much for having me, and thanks so much for addressing this issue here, especially on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I thought it would be a good time to do that. I mean, infidelity is a Absolutely. Deep wound. I'm stunned by some of the numbers I see, why people cheat. And mm-hmm. What do you see in your practice? I mean, what's the number one reason that people are unfaithful to the vows of their marriage or their relationship?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first, let me just mention, with the numbers or with those statistics, if anything, statistics on infidelity are going to be underreported.
Wow.
So those numbers are the low end. If anything, the realities are going to be higher because a lot of people are just out of the stigma or shame. We're not going to endorse that on a survey. Nobody's going to say they're doing it when they're not, but people who are might say they're not. So those numbers, if anything, are actually going to be a little low, sadly. The question as to why is, I think it's important because in the moment, a lot of times we'll think it's about sex. And it's not about sex. It's about something missing in the relationship, something in that marital bond, that emotional attachment that's been lost, and maybe it's been lost over time. And what a spouse will do is, you know, we'll look for an exit. And we can do it in simple ways, you know, from overworking and things like that, that just kind of having us turning away from our partner rather than turning towards. And then obviously it goes to the more extreme end when it comes to the betrayal of infidelity. And so often, you know, I hear the stories over and over, I didn't set out to do it. I just started, you mentioned coworkers. I just started talking with a coworker. And then we had coffee. And then before you know it, we were chatting more late after work. And it just leads one thing to the next. And they're getting something that they're not getting in their marriage. And again, rather than turn towards their spouse, they turn away.
Is communication one of the biggest problems? I remember when I was getting married, the priest who married me, he said the one thing you have to do, regardless of your day, you have to make sure that you spend time communicating with each other. It's about your day. Know what's going on. If there's an issue or problem, you've got to go ahead and share that with one another. Communication will save your marriage, you know. And I never forgot that. And of course, I talk nonstop. I go home. People say, oh, your husband must be tired when he gets off the air. He must never talk. My wife says, he never shuts up. So we don't have a problem communicating here. But that might be a problem for a lot of people because they tend to internalize things. And then they might get into these emotional relationships, which then can lead, I guess, to physical ones as well.
Absolutely. Communication is really the vehicle for that connection. So in a sense, you know, when you go home and you communicate with your wife, that's the vehicle to the connection. And so what happens, as you mentioned, is, most people don't communicate. They don't communicate effectively. If, you know, something's going on, like a need's not being met, it comes out as a criticism or a complaint, and then it just leads to argument. And then we want to avoid having those arguments.
Yeah. All right. Well,
again, we turn away instead of turning towards. But communication is the vehicle, and that's oftentimes, you know, when we're doing the work of healing a marriage, we start right there with helping them learn a new way to communicate.
So you might be going through this right now. Perhaps your marriage is on the rocks. Perhaps you drank from the bitter cup of infidelity. I don't know how. That's got to be so difficult to rise above. But if you want to join us, if you've got a question, you want to share your story, I'm joined today by Dr. Michael DiPaolo. Our number here, 888-914-9149. Feel free to get in. Jackie is listening to us in the Chicagoland area. Doctor Jackie, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Michael DiPaolo.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Doctor. I wanted to share, it's going to be just about 2 years in April when I will have found out that my husband had been having an affair with a coworker that had been going on for about a year. And it was absolute shock to me. I had absolutely no idea. And the way in which my husband responded and I responded, I to this day absolutely believe that God just put his hand down on each of us and pulled us from that brink, that we could have fallen into that abyss of divorce and anger and separation. But instead, we turned towards each other and immediately started counseling. He immediately went to confession, and it took a very long time. I'm still hurting. He's still hurting. It's a very, very destructive. The story is very similar to what the doctor just described. We had a very busy life. We had three kids. You know, I had a busy career. He had a busy career. He was feeling things that he wasn't communicating, and I was unaware, and I wasn't giving him the attention he needed, and, you know, it just progressed over time, and there happened to be the right person at the right time who was there to listen to him, and it grew from there. And so it happens like a thief in the night.
Wow.
And I think that it takes God's grace to save you, and you have to just there's so many blessings that have come from the pain and the suffering for us. And so our marriage and our relationship is in a state that I could have never imagined in terms of being close and honest and communication and appreciation, and our faith is stronger. So you can survive it, but it takes a lot of work, and there's a heck of a lot of pain. And I could never have guessed that 2 years from the day I found out, I would still think of it and have a pit in my stomach. I still have the pain. But I have to choose not to focus on that.
So, Jackie, would you say you're closer to your husband today than you have ever been then?
Yes.
Really? Wow. And yet you still suffer a deep wound from his infidelity. How are you able to forgive him? Is it just an act of the will?
It's through God's grace first and foremost. I've learned about what forgiveness is through this experience. I was never a good forgiver. I was always a grudge holder. And so I think there were a lot of lessons I was in need of learning by having this experience in our marriage. I think that you learn what love truly is. An affair is not a love relationship. It's something different. It's trying to fill a void. It's coming from lies. God is not a part of that. It is not love.
Right.
Love is commitment and forgiveness. And, you know, I said to my husband, we stood at the altar and we vowed in good times and in bad. And this is our worst time, but I am not walking away. And he did not want to walk away. And we just were committed to work through it.
Well, Jackie, thank you. I'm going to let the doctor respond to you as well. Doctor, you heard her testimony. Probably a lot of lessons there.
Absolutely. Jackie, first of all, thank you for your courage and sharing your story. And thanks be to God for the courage of both you and your husband to be willing to turn towards each other and really begin that process. And you underscored it so wonderfully of how this is such a healing process. You know, that very day you find out, I'm sure it wasn't the day you're saying, I forgive you, let's move on. But it's that decision to say, okay, let's take a look at this and let's see if we can heal in this process. Let's see what we can do. Let's turn towards God. Let's get counseling. Let's do this work. And here you are, you know, 2 years better. You're on that journey. And you made a great point, too, when, you know, Drew asked if she was closer to her husband. And that is so much what happens because you don't go back. You don't go back to the old marriage. That previous marriage is dead. You're creating a new and better marriage. And, you know, when you're in the throes of it, you never think that's possible. But, again, Jackie, so wonderful to hear that you can say that. You're actually closer now because you have a deeper connection.
Well, thank you, Jackie. A woman who called up whose husband's having an affair on her. He wants out. She's remaining faithful in the relationship. She's praying for him and hoping that God's going to resolve this. She's listening in California. Let me invite her into the conversation. I told her to give us a call back to share with you because I'm sure you'll be able to give her some direction. Regina, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Topala. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
It's been about a month, and I found out my husband was having an affair, and his response to it was immediately, well, maybe we should separate a divorce. And I responded with, no, I forgive you, even though it's hard, and I just want to fix whatever the problem is. And since then, he's still at home, but he's very angry with me. And I know he's continuing this affair, and I continue to pray for him and pray for our family and pray for this woman. And I know I don't understand why he's so angry with me, but I've done nothing to him.
All right. Now, doctor, maybe you could give her some advice.
Yeah, I mean, first, Regina, so good to hear that you are turning towards God in prayer, wanting to do that work of forgiveness. It can be so frustrating because you can do the work of forgiveness, but it takes two to do the work of reconciling the marriage. And the one invitation might be is, like, you know, he is angry. As best you can is to be curious of what that's about. No doubt there's some pain under there, some wounding under there, whatever it is that he's for some reason not been able to really get at and certainly not been able to share with you. And he's sort of acting out that pain by going out, you know, with someone else. And so that is really, you're in that really tough bind because right now you're kind of being asked to do all the work.
Yes.
Again, it's just that invitation to be curious about, you know, if he is angry, if he's in pain, what that's about. And it's best trying to be, not to be defensive in reaction to that, but just try and hear and understand him. And in essence, you're trying to create a safe place for him to be able to talk to you. Does that make sense?
Yes. Before I found out for sure he was having an affair, I questioned him several times. And he denied it. He denied it. And he was very nice to me. But once I knew for sure, he completely changed. And now he's just angry with me. And I try to talk to him. He doesn't want to talk. It's frustrating at times. I don't want to give up. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. You know, and one thing maybe to know is probably underneath that anger is a lot of shame. for most folks who are, you know, unfaithful in a marriage, there's so much shame underneath. And that shame can just, initially, it's just the denial, right? I can just deny. Nope, not happening. It's not happening. But now he can no longer deny it. And there's no doubt a lot of shame under there. And especially for men, you know, we're socialized with anger. Anger is the emotion.
Yeah.
You know, we're not supposed to be vulnerable. We're not supposed to be sad or anxious or worried, but we can be angry. And I think, and that's what you're getting from him right now.
Well, Doctor, let me ask you a question, too, here regarding Regina, because, I mean, this man is still persisting in his behavior. What does a wife do when the husband says, I don't care? You know, he's staying at home. He's still perhaps being unfaithful. She understands the sacrament that she entered into. She wants to remain faithful in good times and in bad. How do you reconcile that? How do you somehow take the blinders off your cheating spouse? How do you, I don't know, take the steps to rebuild a relationship that is clearly in dysfunction?
Yeah, and this is where it's going to be really hard. Because with Regina, in your situation, it's saying, okay, where's that boundary for me? You know, I want to keep doing this. I mean, at some point, even the church recognizes that there's an annulment process. When one partner is just not willing to do the work of healing, and not only not willing to do that work, but to continue to do the destructive thing.
He denies it. I brought it up like, oh, why did you get home so late today? Or he will deny it or get angry right away. Stop questioning. I'm not doing anything. But I know inside he's still doing it. And I ask him, like, what do you want to do? I need time to think. That's his answer. So I feel he's still doing it. I know he is because I know him so well. But he continues to try to pretend he's in traffic or he's getting out of work late because he's working late. He defends himself still.
Yeah. Has he willing to, either for counseling or just to go talk to your parish priest? Would he be willing, you think, to do
that? We did talk to the priest when it first happened. He was very upset and angry that I took him there because he never has been the type of person that ever wants to talk about his problems.
Right.
So I tried to get to go on a retreat with him, and he won't go. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He just completely shuts down.
Right. So imagine you're having to do a lot of work right now just to sort of take care of yourself as you're going through this. Your own prayer, your own work, getting your own support to make sure you're doing that along the way. And at some point, you know, at some point it may be to that time where you realize he's unwilling to reconcile with me.
That's really hard, Doc. It really is. So explain to me, I mean, does the church say you can have an annulment? If you married, you enter into the sacrament, you both understand what the sacrament is about. It's illicit and it's a sacramental marriage. If the spouse begins to become unfaithful, how long do you remain faithful to the spouse without throwing in the towel on the marriage? Aren't you supposed to be there for good times and for bad? Or
for good times and for bad, yeah.
Or can you get an annulment based on infidelity?
We would certainly be asking, like, to do what Regina's doing,
right,
to put in the work, to put in the effort. Right. Not on day one, let's throw in the towel and do that, but to really put in the work.
Doctor, hold it right there for 1 second. I've got to take a quick pause here. When we come back, we'll take a few more of your calls. If you're on hold, I'll grab you. The number here, 888-914-9149. Stay with me. What we do here is very different. We can report on the news. We can also offer that moral perspective.
I'd like to see all Catholics on their knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament praying the rosary, because Jesus is the one who's the answer.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
St. Paul has a very curious line in which he said that he had become all things to all people. It almost sounds like he had no backbone or values, that he went along with whatever others were doing around him. Reality was just the opposite. So, what exactly did St. Paul mean? Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, director of St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and I think that what St. Paul meant is captured in a particular slogan about going in other people's door in order to bring them out your own door. In other words, try to understand others. Find what you have in common. engage them in dialogue, and then gently lead them to your door, to the faith. That's what Saints Cyril and Methodius, the saints we honor today, did. They learned the language and customs of the people they went to as missionaries, and in turn led them to the faith. Who were these people that they went to? The Slavic peoples of Eastern Europe. And Pope St. John Paul II said the following about our saints in a letter he wrote in 1985. Together with a great respect for persons and a disinterested concern for their true good, the two holy brothers had the resources of energy, prudence, zeal, and charity needed for bringing the light to the future believers, and at the same time for showing them what is good and offering concrete help for attaining it. For this purpose, they desired to become similar in every respect to those to whom they were bringing the gospel. They wished to become part of those people and to share their lot in everything.
Listen to more of Father James Kubicki's Daily Reflections by downloading the free Relevant Radio app.
You are not alone.
I am devastated. I am crushed. And I don't... He's been working a lot lately and...
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
If you're gonna break my heart, just break.
Not more than 10 minutes ago.
And if you're gonna take your shot,
I don't really know what to think of it. I don't know what to think of it.
If you made up your mind, then maybe
he's out with another girl.
This fast.
I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. And
have mercy.
Well, very emotional stuff. You know, I receive emails and telephone calls from a lot of people who drank from the bitter cup of infidelity. One woman wrote to me, she says, Drew, my husband moved out months ago, and I've been praying for the restoration for our marriage. He committed adultery. He may be addicted to dating sites. I don't know if the Lord wants me to persist in prayer or to move on. Everyone tells me to file for divorce, but I can't bring myself to do it. And I just beg for the intercession of the Blessed Mother. And says, I wasn't a great wife, but I thought he loved me. And I can't imagine the pain that anyone goes through whose spouse cheats on them. I mean, it's a difficult thing. And we've heard from some heroic people. One woman who experienced that deep wound and yet has been able to forgive and restore her marriage. And as a result of it, even though she still feels that knot in her stomach every time she thinks of it, she feels communication and the relationship with her husband are closer than ever. And there's something to forgiveness. There is something to second chances. There's something to conversion and redemption. Should we give that to our spouse? How do we move beyond that? If you're just joining me, I'm talking today a little bit about infidelity and how to heal from the wounds of that. Perhaps you were wounded in a relationship. If you are, you can join me. If you have got a question or you want to share your story, the number is 888-914-9149. My guest today, Dr. Michael DiPaolo, he's a clinical psychologist, and he's counseled thousands of couples in marriage prep. And you can check him out. His website is drmichaeld.com. It's drmichaeld.com. And Doc, thanks for being back here with us. It's tough stuff. I don't know how you deal with it, honestly. I mean, it breaks my heart to hear this type of thing. And, you know, you really have to have the ability to discern and what kind of advice to give to someone. I mean, the last person who wrote to me and says, I don't know whether to keep trying or to throw in the towel. I mean, what advice, is there a criteria, is there a list, is there something one can evaluate to make that decision?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, when I'm sitting with folks, you know, who might be in that situation, there's no one-size-fits-all. There's no, like, okay, we're going to put this timeline on it. Because whenever we try to artificially do that, it doesn't work. It's really, you know, again, doing that work of I'm going to work on forgiveness, I'm going to pray, I'm going to try and be that spouse that I think my spouse wants me to be. And at some point, it's just if I'm sort of beaten down enough, and I've done that, and I realize that at this point, you know, maybe God's actually calling me to move forward and I have to seek an annulment. You know, perhaps that's where I'm being called right now. That's the direction that I need. Maybe that's the direction that my spouse needs because they're not able to heal. And am I sort of enabling them to keep them in this situation?
Yeah, you know, and I guess there are resources like yourself, like Retrovi. There's a lot of different
resources.
Marriage counseling. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can be done, and I think people need to pursue that to find out what the source of the wound is that created this infidelity. And before throwing in the towel, I mean, I think you really have to look at reconciliation and making it work if you can. Let's take a few calls for a lot of people want to join the conversation. Who's up next? We'll go to Mike, listening in Los Angeles, California. Mike, hi. You're on the air with Dr. DiPaolo.
Yeah. Hi, Drew. Hi, Doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
My situation was such that my sins, not my wife's, but they were my sins that separated us, but they were sins in my mid-20s. And then they weren't brought to light till over 30 years later. Mm-hmm. And with that, my wife still wanted a divorce. And at that time, we had never been closer in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I had purged those sins through confession years before. But she wanted a divorce. So we went to court. And when it was our turn in court, and I didn't say anything. I just filled out the paperwork. I wanted to do whatever she wanted to do. And when it was our turn, she said, "What if I don't want to do this today?" And they said, "Well, you have 6 months before you file again, or before we'll call you again." And what after that? Well, then in 5 years, we'll let you know what's up. And so long story short, we went through the whole 5 years, and then she got notification, and she called me and said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Whatever you want to do." You know, I said, "I'm in it, but it's whatever you want to do." And she said, "Well, I don't want a divorce." So we've been separated over 10 years. We're stayed faithful to our vows, married in the church. Mm-hmm. Neither one of us has dated. Neither one of us want a date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we've been to Retrovi. We've been to Catholic counselors. And she's forgiven me, she says, but she can't reconcile. Mm-hmm. And she can't bring herself to reconcile the marriage. And, you know, at this point, I've been through all the emotions in my faith, knowing what the Catholic Church preaches and what it says. And yet I know how painful it's been for her and how painful it still must be for her. And so I vacillate back and forth, but now I've just given it to God. I just give it to the will of God. If she's coming back to me, it's his will.
Doctor, your advice for him. I love this guy. I mean, I love his honesty. I love the rawness of what he had to say. I love the fact that he's willing to stay the course, praying for God's conversion and submission to his will. And we don't know all the details, but a crime or an offense, I should say, he committed in his 20s, you know, two decades ago or more, three, who knows how old he is. That almost seems unfair. But and he was closer to his wife than ever, but, I mean, that was a deep wounder, and I don't know the details. But your thoughts for him?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Drew, that how Mike handled this is amazing, the willingness to just turn to prayer and also be willing to understand wherever she is at and be willing to work with her and not push her on one direction or another. And that's where the grace happens, that, you know, they walk into court that day and she says, "Actually, no, I'm not ready for this." And they've done some work. And I would still imagine that as much as, you know, she says she forgives, there's still some part of that wound that's not healed. That's preventing her from, you know, the vulnerability of going back into relationship with Mike, because there's a big risk there, right? There's a big vulnerability she's opening herself up to, at least in her heart, in doing that. And again, just so appreciate the way that Mike is handling that.
Yeah, I'm going to pray for him. I just love it. I mean, he's you know, and this is a cross a lot of people I think have to carry. You know, you want God's will to be done. You want to remain faithful, as you point out. I'm sure he has a lot of shame for what he did. He's seeking forgiveness. Yeah. And he's gone to counseling. He's done all the right things, and you know, there's a big chasm that's got to be bridged there. So, if you're listening, pray for him. Would you pray for all these marriages? Prayer brings healing, and clearly he needs it. I just hope it works out for the best for him. Tilly's listening, doctor, in Salt Lake City, Utah. Tilly, hi. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call, and I have a special needs daughter, and my husband was in a relationship 20-plus years. She's 26, and I didn't find out until my son was, I was 3 months pregnant with my youngest son, on Mother's Day of all times. Wow. But anyway, to make a long story short, I was busy helping him run a karate business. She was a student, and I had heard that she was going to go after my husband to some of our students, and I couldn't believe it. And of course, he denied it, kept denying it, and this went on for years. But the problem is, when he finally got caught with the DNA test, and he couldn't deny it anymore. The reason he said is because he was jealous of all the attention I was giving to my oldest, our oldest son. It was his offspring, too. He just couldn't stand that, and he couldn't understand me helping him run that business. It took a lot of my time. And this went on for 10 years, and I was just the biggest bull. I felt the biggest bull ever. There was a time, too, he fathered another child. And so, and that was before we got married, and there was that I knew I shouldn't have married him because I thought he would change. But anyway, make a long story short, I'm still quite bitter. Even though it just recently we went to a marriage encounter, and he did ask for forgiveness, but I'm still so bitter. Our marriage is not the same. You know, we were married through the church. I came from a broken home. I wanted to be a most holy type of family that could be, and I'm starting to change because I start listening to your all radio. But anyway, to make a long story short, I still hurt. I still can't seem to totally forgive him. I didn't file for a divorce, even though I came close, but I needed his help to help me raise my autistic epileptic child. So, and that's pretty much why we stay together. And
so your question, Tilly, for the doctor then is how can you forgive your husband?
I think I do forgive him, and then I get angry because that comes back again. How a fool he made me with all the students. The students knew about it.
Yeah. No, it's humiliating.
And I just can't seem to get over that hump.
And that doctor, that's probably the biggest challenge I think a lot of people have because, you know, let's just say my wife cheated on me. If she ever did that and I found out she cheated with a guy who took her to this Italian restaurant or they went to this ball game or they visited this show or anytime that restaurant, that game, the show came onto my frame of reference, it would rip open my heart and I would be filled with a flood of those memories of that connection she had. So I can understand this poor wife, Tilly here, being humiliated and trying to forgive it every time she thinks about it. You know, she bleeds again. How does somebody move? How do you move beyond that? How do you finally, I don't know, get the healing, the disconnection from those pressure points that constantly, you know, allow these feelings to come back, these memories?
Yes, yes. And it's remembering, Tilly, that, you know, forgiveness is a process and things will come up and get triggered. And one of the challenges sometimes is to also forgive yourself for that part of you that kind of comes up and gets annoyed again. Like, you might be thinking, like, oh, if I've forgiven, I'm not supposed to get annoyed anymore. It's not supposed to bother me anymore. Have compassion for that part of you, because that part of you is the part that's sort of like trying to stick up for you to say, hey, wait a minute, this was not okay. This hurt me. And so in some ways, it's having that compassion for that part of ourselves that's still hurting and still wounding, and so we can address that. And then knowing that even that work with your husband is ongoing work. Great to hear you did a marriage encounter, but to follow up, whether it's with counseling or other groups of the church, whatever are available in your area, but so you can continue to do that work. Two other things that jumped out, too, is that so often in a marriage where there's a special needs child, unfortunately, there's higher divorce rates because of the stress and the strain that puts on a relationship. And then, as you mentioned, even though it sounds like bull, you know, it's like your attention's going elsewhere, and so I end up exiting and going out. Now, it's not an excuse to do that by any stretch, but just the numbers will tell us that just because of the increased strain, it is more likely to happen. And so that will definitely occur.
Well, Tilly, hang in there. You're a heroic woman, and you know, in some respects, these sufferings are crosses that we can carry, and doctor, I think, offer up, unite to that of the Lord on the cross, and allow them to be meritorious and perhaps bringing about the conversion of our wayward spouse, you know, and that's something else. Tilly, thank you. Mary Beth is online. She's listening to us in New Jersey. Hi, Mary Beth.
I'm in a situation where my husband, I'm 60 years old, he's 65, we were married 39 years, and out of the blue, it'll be 4 years, March 9th, I never forget the day, he left me for another woman. No clues, was home every night, I had no idea. And I know you think I'm crazy, but I mean, home every night, all the time, on the weekends, we're always together. So that's why I was shocked. And it happened, and he is still with this woman, but I think for some reason, I don't think the relationship is, it's never going to go anywhere. I know that. Because first of all, I can't divorce him. I told him it's not in my heart. I'm very faithful to my marriage. And what I want to share with the women and men is through, and I say, I listen to you all the time and I say prayers and everything and the chaplet and the rosary, everything. I do everything.
Right.
I go to Bible studies. I do Women of Grace.
Right,
I mean,
right.
This has brought me so close to the Lord. I was always faithful. I always went to Catholic school from kindergarten up,
right.
You know, all the way through. But what I want to see is I still have hope in my marriage. People think I'm crazy.
Right.
And they say you should divorce him, blah, 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 blah. But I feel there's something there.
I'll tell you, I hate to do this to you, but your signal's kind of popping in and out. It's kind of hard to hear the end of it. It's getting just a little bit worse. But I'm going to let the doctor respond to that. She shared her story, of course, doctor. I think you heard most of it, of
yeah.
infidelity. And she's committed to staying faithful to the relationship and does not want to file for divorce, even though, you know, you heard her story.
Yeah, right. And what I heard, too, is that, you know, she's seeing that relationship isn't really sustaining and isn't lasting. They were together, and now they're sort of not. And so it sort of says that, you know, as often will happen, you know, the sort of fantasy that when someone's going out and having this affair, you know, there's some kind of fantasy a lot of times that this is just going to be the end-all, be-all. And you kind of realize it's not. And, you know, and by what you're doing, Mary Beth, by just sort of, you know, holding out that hope, staying with prayer, that it's sort of inviting him to come back.
Because
you've had such a long history together and such a commitment to one another for so many years.
Mary Beth, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'm sorry you're carrying this cross. And again, I call people just to pray for all who are suffering in this way. Eileen is listening in Texas, doctor. Eileen, thank you for joining the conversation.
Oh, thanks. I just was wondering, this is from my parents. They're in their late 70s, and my mom has been having an affair. And basically, I just don't know how to help them. My dad has gone through cancer the last 2 years, and supposedly this has been going on for like 4 years. My youngest brother has been like tracking my mom's every move, and recently, just a few weeks ago, caught them in the car making out, and it's just it's been really, the family is all divided now, and so I'm just curious if there's any way I can find a way to help them.
Yeah. Wow. I can just hear all the amount of pain you're in right now, Eileen, and thank you for your courage to bring this forward. You know, when you're with your family and trying to talk with your mom about this, I'm guessing that your father does not know. Is that, am I correct in that, or he doesn't know?
No, my father knows, and he's been like...
He doesn't know.
He does know, and he's just full of revenge and anger and...
Yeah.
He keeps telling her she's going to go to hell, and he keeps wishing that she'll get, like, sick and go through, like, what he's gone through with cancer.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I can hear that. I mean, being traumatized by cancer, on top of being traumatized by what's going on in his marriage, that anger really does make sense. And you know, having that understanding and compassion for him and sort of inviting him into that same space, be it through prayer, be it through counsel, to be able to talk about that. Because the revenge, you know, as you're seeing, the revenge and the anger probably just pushes her back to keep going back to this guy because she's getting something there.
Yeah.
She's not getting any more at home. And
Well, it's amazing. Infidelity is not limited to the 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. You know, it happens 60, 70, and 80 year olds. I mean, it's just crazy. But,
right,
you know,
right.
Eileen, I'm glad you called, too, because, you know, so often we hear about the person going through this. But, doctor, I hear such hurt, such woundedness on the part of the daughter, you know, and this has such a ripple effect on the entire family when infidelity takes place. It's not just the spouse you hurt, but that ripples out and affects everyone.
Yeah. It does. And when it's happening, you're not thinking that at all. It's because you're just so something going on in that marriage is what's driving you to do this thing that you never think I'm doing this to hurt my kids.
And I guess the key is identifying what the cause of that is. Doctor, I have to take a pause. When we come back, let's talk more. We can talk a little bit more about this. I only have a few moments left with Dr. DiPaolo, and you can join us here, 888-914-9149. Mary, who's listening in California, when we come back, she wants advice for spouses that view porn, because that's a form of infidelity, too. And we'll address that. Is pornography and the entertainment of that a form of infidelity? That and more coming right up.
Connect with Drew. Relevant Radio. Get the facts without the spin.
The spin.
Maybe next time I'll think before he eats me.
Our society was built on the concept of I owe God. Now we don't owe God anything. God owes us. We're supposed to be entertained by God. And our civilization is not doing that well, except in those places where people take the holy sacrifice of the Mass seriously. People would say, Father, you should make the Mass more entertaining. And I would say, on the contrary, I'm trying to make it more boring. And they would say, you're doing a fine job.
Father Simon Says, 1 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
I cheated on other girlfriends. You know, it was something that I don't know. I don't know really why I did it. I honestly think it was partially because it was an ego thing.
I can't believe you would do something like that to me after everything. Everything.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
If you're just joining me, we're taking a look at why people cheat. We're taking a look at infidelity and the ways ultimately to heal from that. And I'm joined this afternoon by a very gifted clinical psychologist, Dr. Michael DiPaolo. And you can check him out at drmichaeld.com, drmichaeld.com. And Dr., time is my enemy. I only have a few moments left here, so let me jump right back in the call. There's a great call here from Mary in California, raising another issue of infidelity. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi. I am a Catholic. My husband is, unfortunately, a fallen away Catholic, and he doesn't see a problem with pornography. I've told him, you know, that I don't like it. I don't want him to use it. He doesn't necessarily admit that he is, but I've seen it. I know that he is. So what kind of advice besides prayer and things like that would you give to me about that?
Yeah, thanks, Mary, for calling it. It's such an important issue, and it is a growing issue in our world today. And, you know, I used that term in the beginning, exits. You know, an affair is an exit. Overworking can be an exit. Certainly porn can be an exit. And one of the ways I really encourage couples to talk about it is rather than arguing whether the porn is good or bad, because we can get in that argument all day, it's really recognizing that whatever is happening is coming in between our marriage right now. Sometimes that same discussion we'll have around alcohol, right? I think I have an alcohol problem. I don't think I have an alcohol problem. We don't have to argue about that to realize that, okay, this somehow alcohol is causing a tension in the marriage. And so in the same way about porn, in some ways, maybe rather than making it that values discussion with him that he may think is okay, it's more the discussion about how it's causing a rift in your marriage, how you're feeling either disconnected, maybe alone, how you're missing him. Things like that that sort of get at sort of the hurt underneath, the frustration, and that then can sort of invite him. You know, if I'm feeling more distant from you and I just want to be closer to you, that is more inviting than saying, hey, I want you to stop using porn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, because it is such a challenge and it's such a growing, really epidemic right now in our country, and so often it becomes again, something that becomes a barrier in the marriage because it's affecting the ability to be connected emotionally and physically for couples.
And Mary, thank you for your call. I think that it's such a great another talking point, and I wish we had more time to get into it. But I do think pornography facilitates a lot of other problems. It does open the door to infidelity, too, and it's been a real crisis. Doctor, yeah. I have less than a minute to go, and I want to thank you for your time. It's been a wonderful conversation. If people need greater resources or they want to get in touch with you, what's a good way to do that?
Yeah, the best way, you've mentioned my website a few times, the best way is go right to the website, which is Dr. Michael D, drmichaeld.com. And from there, you can email me or look at resources on the website. And, yeah, just go from there. And again, so much appreciate being a part of this and your willingness to do this, because that work of healing is so important. It's so important in our world today.
Doctor, thank you. I do appreciate your time. And I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. I'll tell you what, it is a joy to be able to just spend my afternoons with you. If you enjoy the program, I'm here every day, noon to 3 Pacific, 3 to 6 Eastern. I'm praying for you. Pray for me.
Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Hi, Margarita.
Hi, Father Rocky. I have a prayer of gratitude. My mom, sister, and dad are all together right now, and I wanted them to know that after 2 years of disappointments, miscarriage, and struggles, we finally did it, and I'm pregnant. Today marks the 12-week milestone, and I am no spring chicken. So everyone out there that's struggling and trying to conceive, hang in there. As we see every day, you know, on this program, anything is possible with prayer and miracles. So, Father Rocky, you can expect a call when the little munchkin's born so you can sing happy birthday to he or she.
That's awesome.
I'll be calling you, I promise.
We're very happy for you, and we're going to pray that the saints and angels protect you and your little baby.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Help us create more miracle moments with a tax-deductible donation to Relevant Radio. Tap the Relevant Radio app or give online at relevantradio.com.